Well, I hope that you are here today to be refreshed, to be challenged, to realize that there is hope. Amen? Anybody ready to hear some of that? You know, exactly. This Bible, you know, again, this is the hope of the world, right? I mean, if we will follow this, we can have that hope. We can have that assurance, that security that we so long for in all of our lives. Well, today's message, I believe, is going to be challenging for all of us. It's a message that I know I need to hear. It's a message that I'm praying that you need to hear. It's a message that church people need to hear. It's a message that unchurched people need to hear. And so here's the thing. When I say the word performance horse, what do you think? A horse that what? Performs, right? Yeah. I mean, I want you to look at some of these horses. This is a barrel horse, right? If any of you run barrels, this is what you would call a barrel horse. Barrel racing horses are performance horses, right? What else? What else we got? We got a calf roping horse. This is what you would determine as a performance horse. What else we got? We got a cutting horse right here. Another performance horse. What else? This would be the working cow horse. If you guys have ever seen it, it's an exciting event. That's a performance horse, a working cow horse. What else? Team roping horses. You got Hedden, Heelan. That looks like Dick Munsell right there, Hedden, doesn't it? Anybody know Dick? Is Dick here today? It does. Anyways, all right, keep going. This is the versatility ranch horse. It's a performance horse as well. All of these are performance horses. There's even a show. Show that next slide. Anybody ever watch All Around Performance Horse? Anybody? Raise your hand. There we go. Yeah. All Around Performance Horse. It's a great show on RFD TV. These guys do a lot with performance horses. So if you've never watched it, I encourage you to watch it. But here's the thing. When you think of a performance horse, again, you think of a horse that performs. They either perform a certain maneuver, they perform a certain run, they perform a certain job, and they're scored on whether they perform or whether they don't perform. They have judges. I mean, there's a lot of competitions in this where they have world champion versatility horses. And they have judges, and they go to these competitions, and they're judged on what they do and how they perform. If they don't perform well, guess what? They don't have any earnings, they don't win, they don't, you know, get the stud fees that they want. I mean, all these things are based on performance. Now, here's the point. While that's fine for a performance horse, it's not for the church. I want you to get this. Sadly, many churches and for many Christians, theirs is the same performance-based mentality. Now, let me explain this. At first, when we come to Christ or when we hear about Christ, it's all about love. I'm going to love God with all my heart. You know why? Because I know that he has forgiven me. I know that he's done all kinds of things for me. I'm going to give him all I got. Because why? Because we're in the moment of knowing and feeling that love. But here's the thing that I notice about Christians. After a while, it becomes a performance rather than out of love. Now, let me explain. I know this is true because it's true for me. You know, and again, while there are expectations that God has for us, and there are ways and rules and things that he's asked us to do, listen, you need to realize that the most important thing to God is not your performance. It's not your performance. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Some of you guys feel like God's priority is to judge me. It's to judge me. And if I don't perform well, guess what? He's not going to love me. He's not going to give me, you know, the things that I love or need or whatever. And here's the thing. At Thousand Hills Ranch Church, I praise God that we've tried to do a great job of not creating a performance-based church. Have you thought about that? I mean, it's not a performance-based church. Many churches are plagued with the idea that, man, I got to act a certain way. I got to walk a certain way. I got to drive a certain truck. I got to perform. I got to look good. If I don't come and if I haven't shaven, dang it, someone's going to notice. And we've done our part in trying to lessen the idea of being performance-based. You know, I praise God again that we've torn down some of those barriers, but here's the truth. Listen to this. we can still get caught up in a poor performance-based Christianity. Let me explain that. How do we put performance first? Well, we feel like we do have to dress a certain way. We feel like we got to attend church or God doesn't love us. I mean, if we miss a Sunday, dadgummit, God doesn't, oh, he's mad. We feel like, oh, I got to read my Bible every day, or God doesn't do that, doesn't want to help. I feel like, you know, I got to take communion. If I don't, it's all performance. I got to take, you know, I got to sacrifice my time and serve. I got to tithe. I got to serve on a team. And we think that that's what God says is most important. Now, here's the thing. All those things that I just said, they are important, but they're not most important. And I want you to hear this today, because this is going to set some of you performance-based people free. And it's going to set some of you people that are unchurched, that you don't like church, that you hate preachers, and you're just here because somebody invited you and you don't even want to be here. You're going to realize that God's love is not based on your performance. It's based on something else. And we're going to talk about that today. Matthew chapter 9, I want you to look at the screen with me. And I want to read this verse real quick, and it's going to tell us what God feels like is more important. Look at it with me. It says, in verses 9 through 13, it says, "As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. 'Follow me,' he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and quote, sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?' On hearing this, Jesus said, 'It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick.' But listen to this. 'But go and learn what this means. I desire what? Mercy, not what? Sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners.'" There's a lot of good stuff there, and I'm gonna hopefully lead you through some of that. Let's pray together. Ask God to bless the message. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can take a deep breath. And some people need to do that today. They need to realize something is more important than their performance. And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak to each of our hearts. I thank you for speaking to my heart and showing me that your love isn't based on what I perform. It's based on something else. And so, Lord, speak to us. Set us free so that we can honor you. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Well, here's the thing. In these verses, Jesus shows us what he desires more than performance. And the answer is mercy. Did you hear that? Mercy. It's mercy. Look at verse 13 again. It says, "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice." Now, I don't know about you, but anybody ever played the game Mercy? Anybody? I mean, this kid right down here has. I mean, he's got brothers. If you have any kind of brothers, you have played the game Mercy, right? I mean, if you don't know what this game is, it's the game where you grab hands and you lock hands with your brother and you're like, you squeeze it as hard as you can and then you try to turn him upside down and you're like, okay, say mercy, say mercy. Anybody ever played that game? Okay, you can call it calf rope, you can call it uncle, you got to say uncle, but you know that game. I mean, my brothers, we used to rip each other's fingers off and then we'd have to go to the doctor, you know? I mean, it was see who could hurt each other. That's what the game was. But the truth is, we play that game and we try to bend people over and we try to, you know, get them to hurt so that they'll cry mercy. Now here's the application of that. I believe that our attitudes and our actions have shown people our wrong actions that we need mercy. Many of you have been wronged by somebody and they're crying for mercy and you're crying for mercy. Here's the thing. Many of us, again, have bent others back so far with our wrong attitudes, or we've been bent back so far that one of us is crying for mercy. Maybe you've lied. I mean, we're all liars. We've all lied at one point. Maybe you stole something. Maybe you've cheated. Maybe you've sinned sexually against someone. Maybe you verbally degraded someone, and the person you wronged has shown you mercy. Maybe you've been wronged by your spouse. Maybe you've wronged your parents. Maybe you've wronged a friend, and they showed you mercy. Maybe, here's the opposite of that. Maybe you've been wronged, and for so long you didn't forgive that person. But as soon as you forgave them, as soon as you showed them mercy, you felt the gift of the relief of forgiving and showing someone mercy. I don't know about you, but mercy is an amazing gift. Whether you receive it or whether you give it, it's a great gift. And again, so you say, well, what do we have to do? Here's the thing. For us to know what mercy really is and to really give God what he desires, a few things have to happen. Number one is this. You ready? You excited? Are you pumped? Oh, yes, get up. No, I'm just kidding. Everybody, he got it. Never mind. Okay, I'm just going to keep going. I could chase the little rabbit there. Number one is this. What does God desire more? What does he ask of us? Number one is this, that we must receive and accept his mercy. How do I know what mercy really is unless I've actually received it and accepted it from God, right? That's the number one thing that he wants. The truth is, yes, it is true that he shows mercy. You know, or maybe you're thinking this. God only shows mercy on those who know him and do what he says. And that is true. He shows mercy on those people, but not only those people. The truth is, he shows mercy on those who don't deserve it. And guess what? That's all of us. None of us deserve his mercy. You know, the very definition of mercy is this: showing compassion and forgiveness to someone who deserves punishment. That's what mercy is. And you know what? We find a great example of this in the scriptures in Matthew. Matthew chapter 9, again, look at the scripture in verses 9 and 10. It says while Jesus was having dinner, verse 9 and 10, I'll just start at the beginning. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners, quote sinners, came and ate with him and his disciples. Do you realize who Matthew was? I mean, Matthew was a tax collector. Now, I don't know if you've read the Bible lately, but tax collectors, guess what? They were hated. Tax collectors were the jerks. You know why they were the jerks? Because they were cheaters. They would cheat people out of their money. They had the ability to raise the taxes at whatever level they wanted, and they took it to the people. And they were crooks. They were hated so bad that they didn't even want to be a part of them. And guess what Jesus does? You say, well, what did Jesus do with Matthew? Guess what he does? He asks him to follow him. He says, hey, Matthew, you're a tax collector. You're hated by all these people. Guess what? I want you to follow me. Jesus shows Matthew mercy. He saves him from his sins by showing him mercy. He not only saves him, but he goes and makes him one of the most trusted disciples that ever walked with Jesus. You know what else he does? He lets him write the book that we're very reading right now. You realize that? I mean, here's a hated tax collector, a crook, a cheat, and Jesus says, follow me. Not only that does he say, follow me, but guess what else he says? He says, I want to go to your house. I want to be a part of your life. And he goes to his house. And here's the truth. The truth is, Jesus wants the same with us. I want you to get this. This is important. Jesus, in spite of our reputation, in spite of our sin, in spite of our disobedience, he offers you and me mercy, even though we don't deserve it. But here's the truth. We have to receive it. Some of you guys are prideful. You know, mercy's for the weak. I'll never cry mercy. That's what we say. I mean, I know, but if you've got any pride in you, you don't need the mercy. You don't need anybody's help. You don't need God's help. You don't need any of that. But listen, God offers it to you today, but you have to receive it. Ephesians 2, 4 and 5 says this. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, it is by grace that you have been saved. It's by grace. You know what that verse is saying? It's saying because of God's great love for you and for me, because of his rich mercy, we can be made new and alive through Christ. That's what he's saying there. That's mercy, and today you and I have a choice on whether we are going to receive that. And so you say, well, what is more important than my performance? You know what it is? It's mercy. And we want to receive it. We need to receive it. Number two is this. Here's what God also desires. He also desires that we strive to keep mercy more important than performance. I want you to get this. It takes work for me to realize that God wants mercy out of me more than he wants my performance. It takes work to keep the number one thing the number one thing. Here's the truth. What can happen over time is that Christians, we can lose sight of what really matters to God. You know who the greatest example of this is? The Pharisees. You say, well, who are the Pharisees? I don't know who they are. I mean, that's a fancy church word. Here was the Pharisees. The Pharisees were all about, they were notorious for making certain rules and certain rituals that they had to, you know, follow so that they could measure God's love for them. You get it? It happens in churches all the time. The Pharisees were performers. They were they were big on ritual sacrifices. Their religion was all about rule keeping and outward appearance. And that was more important than their personal relationship with God. They even had a rule about who you could associate with. Oh, if you're a Christian, you can't associate with those sinners and tax collectors. Matthew? No, you can't associate with him. But they had those rules, and that's why they asked the question in verse 11. It says, when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? That was offensive to these jerks who were the Christian leaders, or not the Christian leaders, but the religious leaders of their day. You know what they were saying? They were saying, how can Jesus walk with Matthew, a tax collector, a thief? And more importantly, even worse, Jesus followed him home and ate in his house and with other sinners. How the heck could he do that? You know what they were thinking? The Pharisees were thinking, man, that's not right. They lost sight of what was really important, which was offering the people like Matthew mercy. That's what was more important. And you say, well, okay, what did Jesus, how was his response to the Pharisees? You know what he did? He brought them right back to the scripture that they claimed to follow. Hosea 6:6 in the Old Testament, it says this, for I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. You know what he does for the Pharisees? He says, hey, this scripture that you say you claim to know, listen, remember it. Learn it. Apply it. Because I desire more than your ceremonial sacrifice. I desire more than your religious acts. I desire mercy. And guess what? The same is being said to us today. As the church, God is telling us, and he's saying, remember what's really important. Don't lose sight of mercy. Don't lose sight of love. Don't lose sight of forgiveness and compassion. That's what's really important. And I think we lose sight of that pretty quick. So number one, we've got to receive his mercy. Number two, we've got to not lose sight of his mercy. And number three is this. God desires for us to share with others the mercy we've received in Christ. That's what he desires. Some of you teenagers, you got people at school that are bullies, that are jerks, that you know, do all kinds of stuff to try to tick you off or make you look like an idiot. You know what they deserve? They deserve to be punched in the face. But guess what God has called you to do? Show them mercy. They don't deserve that. The mercy that you and I have received as believers in Christ, guess what the people of this world that haven't received that need? They need that same mercy. The people that don't feel, you know, they don't feel like they fit in any churches, you know what they need? They need mercy. The people that don't have certain clothes, that can't, you know, measure up to certain ritualistic type of standards, you know what they need? They need mercy. Because you know what's more important? It's not our outward appearance. It's not our performance. It's mercy. Our calling as Christians, listen, is to receive the mercy from God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and to deliver that mercy to a world that needs that mercy. And so here's my question. How do you look at people that don't deserve mercy? Do you walk away from them? Don't need them, they don't need me. How do you look at the people that that you work with that are just a bunch of jerks? How do you look at them? Do you go, hey, nah, and you just make that noise all the time? I mean, how do you look at them? And again, you say, well, Bo, you don't know what it is like to work with somebody like that. I do. It even happens in the church. And guess what those church people that tick me off need? They need mercy. Listen, God has called us to not make our performance the number one thing. You know what He's called us to do? He's called us to show mercy to a world that needs it. Look at verses 12 and 13. On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." And at the end of verse 13, "For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." You say, what's more important than my performance? What's more important than me doing the things that God has called me to do? Those are important, but you know what's more important? Taking somebody with you when you die. That's more important. We can get caught up in, oh, we don't have Sunday school. We don't have, you know, this. We don't do that. We don't do this. It's not about that stuff. It's about reaching people with the mercy that we've received ourselves. And so we cannot be quiet about the mercy that we've received from Christ. We must share it with the world. And so listen, maybe you're here today and you've based your idea of this relationship with God on your performance. And you feel like every day you got to perform or He's going to judge you. He's not going to give you a 10. He's only going to give you a 5. He's going to love you less. Listen, you need to do things that will please God. But listen, more important than that, He wants you to receive His mercy and He wants you to give it. You know why? Because we all need it. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. How many of you, no one's looking around, we don't point any people out, we don't make you come to the front, but how many of you today would say, you know what, Bo, I get caught up in trying to perform for Christ, and I lose sight of what really matters? Anybody be willing to raise your hand and say that? All over the room. Yeah, all over the room. And listen, can I just tell you guys, those of you that just raised your hand, listen. God does desire for you to live for Him. But I want you to hear this. What's more important than your performance is for you to receive His mercy. And so maybe you just need to right now, those of you that just raised your hand and said, you know, I get caught up in that. Maybe you just need to say, okay, God, set me free from that. I'm not here to please people. I'm not here to please man. I'm here to please You. Help me to keep the things that are most important at the forefront of my mind, at the forefront of my heart. Some of you guys, like the performance horse, some of you guys need to hear this. Listen to this. The competition is over. The show is over. The performance is over. God loves you and He accepts you just the way that you are. And He wants you to experience His mercy. And He wants to use you to change the world. And so maybe you need to let go of that today. Some of you may need to confess that sin of trying to earn God's favor by your performance and recommit your life to doing the things that you do out of a motive of mercy, not a motive of duty. So maybe you need to do that. Even right now, this is why we call it a time of invitation, when we invite you to rededicate, to recommit, to make a decision to follow Christ today. Maybe you just need to do that with your head bowed and your eyes closed. Maybe for some of you, you need to realize this. Receiving God's mercy starts with your heart. Here's how. The Bible says that if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You know what that means? That means that he desires to show you mercy by forgiving you of your sins. And you say, well, no, I don't deserve that. You're right. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But he sent his son to die on a cross so that you could receive it. And so maybe you need to start with your heart today. And you say, okay, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. I want you to come into my heart. I want you to forgive me of my sin. I want to be able to live and die in your mercy. And I want to share that mercy with other people. Everybody's heads bowed, everybody's eyes closed. How many of you guys would say, you know what, Bo? I need to do that. I need to receive that mercy for the first time. I need to give my heart, I need to give my life to Jesus Christ. Would anybody be willing to raise your hand and say that? Yeah, a few people. Right over here, I see it. For those of you that just raised your hand, listen. You are the reason that we started this church. This church is not a church for church people. This is a church for unchurched people. Maybe you've gone to church in other places and you felt out of place. Our passion, our desire, the reason that we exist is to reach people just like you. And so maybe you just raised your hand and you said, you know what, Bo, I don't know Christ. I've never received his mercy. Listen, if you will pray that prayer in your heart right now and say, Lord, be the Lord of my life. Come into my life. Save me. Show me mercy. I know I don't deserve it, but I want it. Listen, he will save you. So maybe you just need to pray that prayer. Just right there in your seat. Maybe you're thinking, well, no, Bo, I got more questions. I don't really understand all this. Listen, I don't understand it either. That's why it's called faith. I understand that he died. I understand that he rose. I don't understand all the other stuff. Listen, you don't have to. You can receive his mercy and receive his grace, and he will show you other things as you grow in him. And you say, well, Bo, I want to talk to someone. I want to visit with someone. I want to get some more answers. We would love to give you those answers. Here's how we do it. We don't ask you to come to the front. We don't introduce you in front of 250 people. Here's what we do. We ask you to fill out an orange sheet on our guest table, fill it out, place it in the offering bucket, and then we will contact you. It's that easy. And listen, some of you need to do that today. Those of you that raised your hand saying, I need to know Christ, or I accepted him right now, listen, you need to fill out that orange sheet. You know why? It's not about church attendance. Remember, that's a performance-based deal. It's not about church membership. That's a performance-based deal. Listen, it's about us walking alongside of you so that you don't get kicked in the teeth by the devil. You cannot walk with Christ on your own. You have to have friends in Christ. You have to have support in those friends. You have to have a church that will support you and love you and give you the tools and equip you to live life in God's mercy. And so please fill out that orange sheet so that we can help you. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to close this in a word of prayer. If you're a first-time guest, we would love to meet you and give you that guest bag. So please stick around. If you want to join our church, come to the new members class. Hear about our church. And we hope to see you next week. Lord, I just come to you. And I thank you for your word. I thank you for showing me mercy. I thank you, though I don't deserve it, though I've not done things right, though I don't perform up to the standards that you've called me to, you still show me mercy. You still show me love. You still show me compassion. And every one of us are in the same boat. And so, Lord, today, as we walk amongst people, as we work amongst people that don't deserve mercy, I pray that you would help us to show them that mercy. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. And I pray that you'd be glorified as we leave this place. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Thank you guys for being here.